Welcome to All Well Stands Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. This is the Back to the Basics radio podcast and shows. And basically what it is these are found up on All Well Stands website, allwellstand.org, under the podcast section. And there's just a section of just going over the basics for anyone who would want to listen to them. And they're all kind of categorized, and I upload them kind of as I have time to do so after I'm done, shortly after I'm done recording, so that you might find that there's a few shows perhaps after the ones you've even heard, or perhaps they'll be up there shortly after the last show has aired for the month. Anyway, in today's show, we have been talking a lot about the Old Testament, then we turned into talking about sin and the wages of sin, and we went over some of the verses in the Old Testament, some verses in the New Testament, talking about the gospel, talking about salvation. But we're going to now turn our attention, focusing on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And hopefully somebody you will accept as your Lord and Savior in the future, if you have not. But we're going to go over Luke chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to talk about John the Baptist, and we're going to talk about Jesus and his birth. And that's the focus of today's show. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And a whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "By what shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and wondered that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they recognized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he made signs to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were fulfilled, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has done with me, and the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Okay, so John the Baptist is a significant prophet of God. He was the one who directly pointed the way towards Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He made the paths ready for Jesus. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a future show. But now we're going to get into talking about the birth of Jesus. So we have this angel, and this is interesting as we talk about this. One of the very few angels with an actual name that's given to us. And this is what people would generally refer to as archangel. This angel stands, it's directly in the presence of God. God is using this angel, and the angel's name is Gabriel. And so it's pretty well known by many people, the name. And But, you know, we're not to worship angels. So let me just be quite clear about that. We're not going to do a discussion on angels today, except for they are created beings just as we are. They're not created in the image of God, essentially. I mean, man was created in the image of God, but angels were also created. The Bible speaks to them as sons of God. And so there's a lot of mystery that we don't know about them. But let's continue on. We're going to start with Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at saying, and contemplated what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor from God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For not one declaration of God will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," and the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he regards the lowly state of his handmaid, for behold, henceforth all generations will count me blessed. For he who is mighty does great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He performs mightily with his arm. He scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He puts down the mighty from their thrones and exalts the lowly. He fills the hungry of good things, and the rich he sends away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Okay, so we have here a lot of stuff that, as this is a basic program, is simply not going to be covered. But if you were to go to allwillstand.org and you were just to put in the search prophecy in Jesus, I'm pretty sure that right away it would come up some very interesting stuff. Actually, the better way to do it would be to go to allwillstand.org and type in virgin birth, and you're going to get an article that is called "The Jewish Messiah." It's from somebody else who I posted their stuff up in here, who worked with All Well Stands Ministry. It's entitled "The Jewish Messiah," and this really gets into a lot of these prophecies if you're interested regarding Jesus being born of a virgin. Stuff that's a little bit beyond the scope of what we're studying here. What we're studying here is just simply the basics. We're going over the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of every single person on the face of the earth, should they so choose to accept that free gift from God. And so, but there's a lot there. I mean, there's a lot there that could cover just numerous shows. But once again, we're just covering the basics. But for people who are interested, the article is called "The Jewish Messiah," And it gets into a lot of these prophecies that were fulfilled in going over such things as a virgin birth. So let me go ahead and continue on, starting with Luke chapter 1, verse 57. We'll continue from there. And Elizabeth's time was fulfilled for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had magnified his mercy with her, and they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they were calling him by the name of his father Zacharias. And his mother answered, said, no, not so, but he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your kindred who is called by his name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was open, and his tongue loose, and he spoke, praising God. And fear came on all those who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were talked about throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began, deliverance from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform mercy with our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which a day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his proclamation to Israel. Okay. So a lot going on there, and a lot more could be said about that, but we're going to go ahead and continue on, and we're going to take a look at in the Bible in the book of Luke. It's in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, the four Gospel books. There's Matthew, there's Mark, there's Luke, and there's John. And Matthew and Luke have they talk all about the birth of Christ, and they have genealogies that we didn't go through, but one of them in Luke chapter, well, is it Luke chapter 3? Hold on here. So in Luke chapter 3, it traces Jesus's genealogy all the way back to Adam, the Son of God. So that's quite impressive. And in Matthew, there's also a genealogy that traces Jesus Christ all the way to, it goes from to David, it goes to Abraham, shows that he's son of David, because there's prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus came from the house of David. And so that is was a very important thing for the Jews to understand, to be able to recognize that indeed this was the Messiah. So, but we're going to go ahead and continue speaking about the birth here. So that's what we're going over. So that is continuing found in Luke chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the realms should be registered. The census first took place while Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, from into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were fulfilled for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So that was one of the prophecies that was fulfilled, was the fact that, so Jesus was a Nazarene. He was born in Nazareth. He was from Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. And so when they went up there, for the census. That's where Jesus was born, and that is was prophesied. And if you look at that Jewish Messiah, you can see the fulfillment of that too. So quite interesting how God had that work out. So continuing on, so Jesus has been born, and there's an announcement made. An announcement that is made, a heavenly announcement. And so we're going to take a look at that in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, continuing on. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, Do not fear, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among men. And so it came about when the angels had departed from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us go at once to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Okay, so now what we're going to look at is there's much more things, but we're going to look at the visit of wise men. So we're gonna go back to Matthew. We're gonna go in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and have come to do homage to him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come one leading who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, asked of them exactly what time the star appeared. And he sent to them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you find him, bring back word to me, that I may come and do homage to him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and did homage to him. And when they had opened their treasuries, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Very interesting. Now watch this. I always find this fascinating because, like, Jesus' parents were not rich. And so God had this timed out. So you have these rich people, these wise men who had riches, and they opened their treasuries and they gave to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And suddenly now, afterwards, Satan makes an attempt to try to destroy Jesus, the Messiah. And we see that taking place right here, beginning in verse 13. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod is about to seek the young child in order to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed in Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. So I always find a couple things just incredibly interesting. And I find one is the haste that Joseph made. And so he was warned, and by an angel of the Lord in a dream. And it says in verse 14 in chapter 2, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed Egypt. So he, God spoke to him and he just immediately listened. And so I just find that to be completely interesting. The other thing I find to be interesting is that is the fact that God allowed that to happen, that ordeal. Obviously, God could have just smote Herod right on the spot and put an end to it. But I always find it interesting that, you know, God allowed that to happen, but yet he didn't allow what Herod wanted to happen. And so let's see what Herod ended up doing and then we'll go in about Jesus as a younger child now coming back. So verse 16, continuing, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, were greatly enraged, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all his districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired for the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. And he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Egypt. So, we'll stop right there with verse 21. And, I'll go ahead and go through 22 and 23. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he withdrew into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So there we go again, Joseph just absolutely listening to God right away when God says something, which is great and absolutely fantastic. And but we're going to kind of now shoot back to, we're going back to a newborn here, and I just wanted to interject, because so you have the shepherds that went and visited Jesus, and they must have been pretty close. It says they were in the same country, and then you have the wise men from the east who came, and it obviously took them longer, and Herod had assumed that as long as every male child 2 years and under, you know, were killed. So there had been some time there that he for sure would have done away with King Jesus, the real King, the Son of God. And so we're going to go back though now, and we're going to look at the Jesus being taken to the temple, presented. And so this is his parents, and this is a religious ritual that Jewish people were required to do. So starting with verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were fulfilled, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young doves. So I'm going to interject right here. That right there tells us that Joseph's parents were on the lower income, and that they were not rich, is that was the type of tithe that God had set aside for those who were of more poverty than others. So continuing on with verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let me interject right there too. So that's very interesting that that he had been told that. That's quite interesting. I mean, what a blessing, to be honest, to be able to see Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to see Jesus, the Son of God, before your death, to see that fulfillment that you were waiting for and expecting. So continuing on with verse 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in the arms and blessed God and saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles in the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoke concerning him. And Simon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of a tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 70 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke concerning him to all those in Jerusalem who looked for redemption. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, as we begin to talk more about Jesus and to look at different, back to the basics, aspects of his life, we started off with Jesus in his birth. It's very important. But throughout Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, his entire ministry, there were over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament fulfilled. Not one failed. Every one was fulfilled precisely as it was laid out, providing that ample evidence to anyone who would question it, as well as the miracles testifying themselves that Jesus did, that he indeed was the Son of God. In fact, him rising from the dead after 3 days, after being crucified, after being the accepting all the sins of the world and bearing all of our sins on that cross, that right there proves that he was the Son of God. And that's something that we will talk about in a later episode, a later podcast going over that. However, everything, it's through Jesus. This is God's gift to mankind. And it was prophesied back in Genesis, I believe Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's the first messianic prophecy that is listed in the Bible. And every single one of them came true. But it's only through Jesus Christ that we have salvation. This is a free gift of God. It is. So let me just go ahead and close by taking a look at that as we get more into the life and ministry of Jesus. Because what we just went over, the birth of Christ, is God fulfilling this. John 3:16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The one believing in him is not judged, but the one not believing is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But the one doing the truth comes to light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been worked in God. I'm going to skip ahead just to one verse and close out with this, as it's important, and some people may never hear this beyond this show. So please consider this and never forget it. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which is speaking about God. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way to get to heaven. Only through Jesus Christ. There is no way, no works, no other way. That is the only way. The Bible is quite clear. Until next time, have a great week.